just like a matchstick then. He's trying to make it into the repeater, Jerry.
Yeah, see if they got in. Must be on a handheld or something.
Some of these guys get on there, somebody does, and just kerchunks constantly.
On D-Star now, you do that on D-Star, you know, your call shows up, see who's calling, who's doing it, but that's a common practice, just do a quick key on it, let somebody know you're on D-Star, and you can look it up on your, on your radio, also on your hotspot too. It's got a, at 5-star's got set up, and you've got, I don't know where you've got your stuff set up for DMR yet or not, but it's on 5-star for the D-Star setup. It's got a little dashboard on it. You can tell who's been on and how long they're talking, where they're located, that sort of thing, kind of like you can on the ICOM radios.
Got my DMR stuff set up last Thursday. I've been playing with it this week a little bit. I got it set up to where it's on my hotspot in the vehicle as I'm riding around during the day. So I like that feature.
Now, you got your 50, do you have your 5100? Is it in the truck you got it set up at home?
It uses my mobile, so it's in the vehicle with me. I haven't got it on D-Star yet at all, though.
On that, it should work on a hotspot, but I know you don't want to tie it up. If you got a DMR, have more activity on DMR than you would on D-Star, but you get on these reflectors, then it's just wide open. I hear people from all over the world on. It's a lot of fun. People sit down, you know, sit somewhere with a handheld running 500 milliwatts going into a hotspot and talking to somebody in London or the UK, or I mean, you know, London, UK, or in Australia, or wherever.
Yeah, it's just the same as DMR. DMR, you still got a kerchunk to repeater when you hook over. The talk groups are basically like the reflector that I can figure out. So it all works pretty much the same. The setup process is a lot easier with DMR than getting your DMR ID than what it is with D-Star to me, though.
Well, easier to set up, and like I said, maybe one of these days we can get together and I can, you know, work you through some of that if you want to. You're real busy anyway. Like I said, maybe later on in the summer, when everything calms down a little bit, maybe I could help work you through some of that. It's ICOM rigs are actually fairly easy to set up, but especially with a hotspot, mine works great with it. Once you go through the menus on one, the menus on the other ones are pretty similar.
I'd love to meet up with you one afternoon or something and maybe figure it out, somebody to show me how it works a little better. I've watched the videos, but none of them really explain it good, in my opinion.
There are a couple of them that I've seen, Patrick, that are pretty dang good concerning the 5100. But setting a hotspot up on one is fairly easy to do. And the 5100 and the 9700 look almost other than, you know, the 9700's got, you know, it's got a color screen and all that. But as far as the actual setup on it, it's very, very similar to me. I see it and I recognize what it's doing and how to set it up for, you know, receive and, do the, where you can tell it whether or not to let you know, it doesn't have, I don't know if it's got audio amps or calls or not, but where the calls will pop up on SDZ, who's calling, that sort of thing. And, it took me a while. I'm not going to tell you it was easy setting it up initially, but once I set it up, it was a lot easier than I expected it would. One of my buddies here in Anderson, he's got a 4100. He had a time setting his up, but once he got it set up, he said he was scared to change reflectors for a while, but changing reflectors is pretty easy on it. It's not a, especially with a hotspot. See, once you're on a hotspot, you don't necessarily have to unlink the reflector like you do on your PC. You can just move on to the other reflector, although I don't know whether it's frowned on or not. But the concept is the same, and the programming is the same, and adding the hotspot few list repeaters is pretty damn simple. If I can do it, I promise you anybody can do it. But it took some time to figure it out, and I did have, there was a couple of videos on the 9700 since it was so new that are pretty clear about how to do it. You know, like I said, very, very similar to the 5100. At least to me, it looks similar.
Have to watch those. That's what was concerning me, was the linking to a reflector and then unlinking and making sure you've done that on the repeaters and all that. But on the hotspot, I guess you don't have to because it's just yours, so it's okay if you tie it up.
If I leave on mine, the PiStar, you can set it up for a certain reflector, so when it starts up, it's linked to that reflector every time you start it up. And like I said, my understanding is you don't have to unlink them, although I do. When I do unlink them, when I change to another reflector, just be on the safe side. It'll keep back up until you unlink, and then just hit it again to link to another one and choose the reflectors. But in some cases, once you set those reflectors up, it's got kind of a reflector list of reflectors that you've linked to in the past. And once you've got those, you can just choose that reflector and then link to it, and then just hit the use reflector from your, you know, once you get your hotspot set up, it's like you would a regular repeater. And once you set that thing up, just get a link to the reflector, then use reflector, and that's it. Where I had most of my trouble was making sure I had the B and the G on the to get the regular repeater and also get the gateway repeater, putting that B and G in the right position on the screen. Instead, I put mine in the seventh position instead of the eighth position because I got a 1x4 call.
But I don't understand there either. So, like I said, maybe later on you can get with me one day and we can sit down and figure it out together.
Like I said, the 5100 is so similar. You know, I'll be studying up on it between now and then to make sure it's the way I think it is. But it looked very similar to me when they were talking about. Some guy was on the store talking about doing something on 5100. I just looked on the 9700 and said, "This is the way it is on 9700." It was exactly the same on the 5100. He was having, you can set these things up where they don't show all the calls and that sort of thing. You don't have them listed, but I mean, it won't pop up on the screen, or it'll pop up for a certain length of time. And he was trying to figure out how to. He didn't want it to pop up at all. He just wanted to put the show on the screen, but it wouldn't do a full display pop up. Because with a full display on the icon, it'll tell you the location, how far away they are, if they got the GPS stuff set on it, and that sort of thing. That's one of the things about the icon. It works a little bit better than my Kenwood does as far as, you know, location information.
For HKX for ID. Yeah, I was, the videos that I have watched, the location identification looks pretty cool. And DMR, though, they gives you a city that they put in, but it doesn't give you the actual location. I've seen some guys that were traveling on their motorhomes or whatever, and they were using it, and they were in a whole different state.
It shows where they're from, but the GPS coordinates, it will show the direction and how far away they are, but it won't necessarily show the exact city they're in unless they've got it, unless they have it changed, I think.
I don't know on that. That's, like I said, that's all above my pay grade.
DMR is the one that's like peeling an onion to me. I ain't figured that thing out yet.
Studying up on it, the unit I bought, it come with the Bridgecom University, where they got little classes and stuff on how to set it up and how it all works so you can understand it. That's one of the reasons I went with them on it, is so that I could get that. And that's what I'm doing now, is going through some of it.
Program with the correct code plugs, too, don't they?
it with or without, it's like an extra $50 to get it with it. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take that.
I wasted $50 worth of time many a day on trying to get something straightened out that I thought I knew how to do, and it turned out, well, maybe I didn't know as much as I thought I did.
I was about it. I'm like, that's cheap enough to where it just don't make sense to fight it.
My time's not as valuable now as it used to be. When I was working, it's more valuable to me than it is now because I got plenty of time. But struggling for 5 or 6 hours on something, to me, I'll give him $50 for that.
It's well worth that, that's for sure. And like I said, if you bought the bundle, you got the free university where it taught you how to use the radio and the SkyBridge. So that was another nice feature. That they say that's a $200 option there that I got for free.
You know, one thing about the 9700 is you can't cross-band repeat on it. It does full duplex, but it won't cross-band repeat. I hope one of these days they'll upgrade it, because I'm sure it can do it, but it's really got two separate receivers in it. Two separate, so I don't know if they can do it or not. I hope one of these days they'll upgrade the firmware where you can do it, because I'd love to be able to cross-band repeat on it, but for regular use anyway, but yeah, it will do. This one will do D-Star on both bands, up and down, which some of them don't do, but it works good on satellites and stuff like that, because AO27 is, you can use D-Star on that satellite, up and down, but there's not many people using it, because they don't remember that it was, it's set up that way. Well, you can do it, but anyway, it's been a lot of fun. I enjoy D-Star, and yeah, hopefully we'll get you set up on it too sometime in the future. You might like it, you may not. There's a lot of guys that are mobile that are on it, and you know, especially in the morning, you'll see people popping up from Italy and England. A lot of people from England, and in the early afternoons you hear guys from New Zealand and Australia, and I talked to a guy in Korea a couple of days ago. But it's a lot of fun, and it's another tool in the toolbox.
That's why I got in this hobby, is I like learning new things. And when I got out of working on cars and repairing them, I was missing that challenge. So that's what I was looking for when I got into this, along with meeting new people. But that's what I really enjoy about it.
I've been doing it for over 4 years now, and it's one hobby that, you know, I may get away from it occasionally, but I don't ever completely get away from it. I've always kept a handheld or something around, and it's one hobby that just, you know, I don't really get tired. There's always something, it seems like, especially in the last 10 years or so, there's always something new popping up. It wasn't like that before all the computerized stuff started coming along. Before, it was the same stuff, you know, and then when they started getting this computer control stuff in, and the digital modes, and it's really changed the hobby a lot, and it's made it a lot more interesting for people that like that sort of thing, like the challenge of programming and figuring out stuff. And I think it's a lot different now than it was 20 or 25 years ago. And I don't think it's bad. I think it's a good thing. You know, it's a lot of people didn't like no code anymore. I said, a lot of people never got into ham radio because of the code. It's just some people, it's just a barrier they can't cross. I don't know what it is. I didn't have any problem with it, but the guy got me started ham radio. He was just stuck with it for years. And I finally helped him out and got him his 13 word for me, and he got his general. But he'd been a novice, and then he'd been a technician for probably 25 years before I helped him out with his code. And man, it's a shame he could have been on there, you know, talking to him other than anything other than 6 meters or 2 meters. Or CW, he could have been doing that for years ago if he had years and years before I met him, if he'd been able to get over that code barrier.
That held a lot of people back from getting in, and it would have me too, just devoting the time to learn that, I guess, is the biggest challenge for most people, just finding that much free time to do it. But also, I was going to ask you about the crossband repeat. I was talking to Dave, W4DJW, and he was telling me that when you put your radio on crossband repeat, you have to identify every 10 minutes, just like you do now when you're talking. And I was trying to figure out how to get the 5100 to auto-identify when you do that. Do you know a way to do it?
Look at it. I know the Kenwoods that I had would do that. And they do, the only issue with crossband repeat, Patrick, that I've ever heard anybody say anything about is, you know, it's not a good idea to do the link repeaters because you got those repeaters IDing throughout the links, and it really clogs up the thing if you got your radio, you know, IDing as well. But yeah, you're supposed to ID, but the Kenwoods would ID in both directions, and it really, you know, there wasn't a way. I don't know if there's a way to set it or not, but I'll dig into it a little bit, see if I can figure it out. But yeah, you're actually supposed to, because it's acting as a remote station. And you still have to have a CW or some form of ID for a remote station if you operate it that way. And I'll have to look, because I don't know. I haven't used an icon for crossband repeat, so I don't really know for sure how it's set up. It's basically, it's not the handheld, but it's the one that, you know, the dual band radio that you're controlling, like your 5100, you have to send out the CW identifier. But I'll dig into it and see if I can figure it out and find out where it is. But like I said, I don't have any experience with that rating, you know, with ICOMs handling crossband repeat like that. 10-4-DJC for ID.
Grace Kex for ID. Yeah, I didn't realize you were supposed to do that. When he said that, you know, it dawned on me, like, yeah, I'm transmitting. And you're supposed to identify every 10 minutes. So I don't need it as much now because I have a unit in the house. But it would be nice to know how to do that when I do want to go down to the Hunt Club and use it there.
It's just like I said, the only time it becomes a problem, Patrick, is when you're going through some of these systems, like the one here in town, you know, the 97 and the 825 440 repeater. When they link those things up, you'll hear those link repeaters. They have to identify as well. You hear those things IDing all throughout some of the conversations. For emergency use, you know, I like the link repeaters, but some of them, you have to wait. You have to start transmitting, wait 20 or 30 seconds before you start talking, because all the repeaters have to link up. For emergency use, I think they're good. A lot of people use them as light nets. It really becomes confusing sometimes because, you know, there's so many people coming in on so many different repeaters, and all those repeaters are IDing, and it just sounds like a mess sometimes, especially if you got dozens of them linked throughout the state.
Yeah, I've never heard anything like that, so I guess that would be a mess trying to understand all those identifiers.
I think, Patrick, go ahead. I didn't hear anybody. But, so you got your crossband link going through, then you got the other ones, and also the crossband, some repeater operators do not want you to use a crossband repeat on their repeaters, you know, unless they give you, it's basically one of those things where they give you permission to do it, but then it's, you do have to ID. But now I know, the ICOMs, it's real difficult to tell when you crossband and repeat on those, but on the Yaesu's and the Kenwoods, you can tell there's a definite lag in the crossband on those compared to the ICOMs that I know, but I just don't recall how they handle that CWID on them. They'll give me something to do tonight. I'll dig into that and see what I can find out about.
It would be good to know, and when I've had mine on crossband repeat, I couldn't tell any difference in it. I didn't figure anybody could on the other end. Nobody said anything anyway. But I only use it of the evening when I get home, or did. But now, like I said, I've got a unit in the house, so I don't have to worry about it.
I could tell, and I can generally tell when somebody's doing it, because like I said, sometimes there's a lag, a little bit of delay when it's cross-banded, but then I think, you know, for some reason, ICOMs don't seem to have that lag in them, but I'll look and see. I know that my, I've used it a time or two, but I don't generally use it. Of course, I don't have a radio to do it with now, but I used it when I had my Kenwood D710. And the VM71A, I think it'll do it as well. But like I said, I don't have any experience doing it with ICOM, so I'll have to dig into that a little bit and find out how you can do it or how. And I know people use them, so they must figure out some way to do it.
None of the videos I've seen on YouTube have anything to say about it. Nobody even mentions it that I can find. And I would like to be able to use it at the hunt club or find a radio. Not necessarily that one, but find a radio I can use with my GMRS license so that the three other guys that are hunting with me, I could put a radio with them and we could all keep in touch.
I don't know that much about DMRS to know how to do that. But I'd be willing to bet you there's something available to handle that. I just dig into it. I've seen people how they set them up, but I just didn't pay attention to the CWID. There's a lot of information that people say you don't have to ID, and you do, and you have to ID in both directions and all kinds of stuff. And a lot of people misinterpret the rules. And all I know is it's just like any other remote station. You have to ID every 10 minutes. So. With some of these other radios, especially, there's always been, you know, some question about IDing on D-Star. But see, D-Star gives you call, it IDs your call. So, and DR can do it for some talk groups, from what I understand. Other ones, I think there's some settings somebody has to set on one end or the other to get it to do that. But regardless, I'll dig into it a little bit and see if I can find something out about it. Maybe I can find something to help out with that, or maybe not. But I know people use them for that. And, you know, like I said, a lot of people don't realize that you don't have to do that. And see, if you're not going through a repeater, I don't know. I mean, you can just give a call yourself, because it goes through there too. But again, though, I think it's just the way the FCC rules are written. It's pretty specific about that. But then again, I don't know whether it's some hard and fast rule about exactly how it's supposed to be done. That didn't make any sense. But anyway, I know there's been a lot of controversy about it over the years.
This makes sense that, you know, you're calling it crossband repeat. You're repeating the other station, so you're transmitting, and you're supposed to identify every 10 minutes, so it just makes common sense that you have to identify every 10 minutes on that repeater, whether you're using it or not, just like the repeater here does.
That's the way I've always, believed it did. I know my brother-in-law, he did it when he lived, and he still lives in the Atlanta area. He used to do that a lot with his, one of his Yazoos, I think. He'd have it set up in his car, and he'd be out in parking lots. He worked at Georgia Tech, and he'd be out somewhere. And this was in the years before cell phones, got to the point where you didn't have to carry them in a bag, and he did that a lot with his handhelds. Did it that way, and we even did it one time, once or twice at Disney World when we were down there, to keep in touch in the years before cell phones. Well, Patrick, I'm going to have to jump out of here. I'm going to have to go back downstairs and see what my wife's up to. I know she didn't spend any money, but I'm getting kind of hungry. I'm ready to get me a little something to eat. Pleasure talking to you, as usual, and hope you get everything correct and straightened out on the other thing we were talking about. And like I said, we'll dig in that 5100 and see what's going on there and find out how to set up that thing and get it ID'd if you can do it that way. Like I said, I don't know how to do it, but it may be one of those things. One time, you can do voice commands on some of the radios, and but I'm not sure how to do that either. But we'll dig into it a little bit and see what we can come out with. We'll talk to you later. 73 M4DJC, I'll be clear after you, Patrick.
Jerry, and as it's always a pleasure talking to you. Enjoyed the conversation. And KO4 HKX, and I'll be clear.